Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You out of a week of weariness and work and struggle. And we ask, Lord, that now You would feed and refresh us. Would You please do that now and be pleased to do so from Your most precious Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And we'll begin reading at verse 1 and we'll continue reading through the end of the chapter. Exodus chapter 31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Ahimelech, the son of Ahisamech, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. The tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, 'Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to another chapter in Exodus in which we see what may appear to be 2 unrelated things put together. I probably should have split this into 2 sermons, but I heard that you had too much time talking in between services, so I figured I'd fix that. But probably should have split this into 2. But I did want to keep it together because there is a unity here, and I do want us to see that there is a real unity between these 2 things. The Lord gifting certain men for the building of the tabernacle and all the things within it, but also for the Sabbath day. And there's a relationship between those 2 things that the Lord describes for us here. But before we get into that, I want to just remind us of where we are in the book of Exodus. We are at the foot of Mount Sinai. God has delivered His people out of slavery in Egypt and brought them into the wilderness to the foot of the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. Why did the Lord deliver His people out of Egypt and bring them to this mountain? Why did He do that? In order that His people would enjoy communion with Him. The Lord would bless His people, and the people were called to worship the Lord. Now you notice, as I say that, there's a relationship. The Lord is blessing His people, the people are worshiping the Lord. That's fellowship. That's what we're talking about. Right? Okay? And that is what the Lord desired in saving His people from Egypt, but more so, as that's all pointing forward to the salvation that we receive from our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have been in a section where the Lord gave the people of Israel a lot of rules to follow. Those rules were not given to oppress the people, but they were given to teach the people how to walk in fellowship with God, how to enjoy His blessings and to worship Him. And we've also gone through all the instructions regarding the sacrifices and the tabernacle and how all of it was to be constructed. And remember, in those days, everything had to be made by hand. They didn't have big forges to cast the metal. They didn't have any kind of machinery to make the thread or to dye the thread or to weave the thread. That all had to be done by hand. And so for this to be accomplished in a timely manner, a lot of people are going to have to be involved in the construction of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, and all of the clothing that the priests were to wear and all of that. And these people were going to have to be very skilled people, because this was all supposed to be very ornate. Imagine trying to make a golden cherub. That would be quite hard to do when you didn't have a way to cast it that way. You had to carve it, and you had to carve it and form that metal before it cooled down, right? All of that is very hard to do. But even in all the seeming difficulties of building the tabernacle and all of its furniture, the Lord provides for the Israelites. He provides them with men who are skilled in the crafts necessary to build the tabernacle and everything that was to go in it. Now this teaches us some very important points in our context as well. God always provides in gifting His people in just the right way at just the right time. When you go and look throughout church history, God has greatly gifted the church with men and women to serve God's people in just the way that they needed serving. You think of Moses, where we are. He was a very humble man, a man that was very dependent on the Lord, and the Lord used him as a great leader among God's people. You look at Deborah, David, Elijah, Esther, Daniel. Just in the Old Testament, God raised up these men and women to serve God's people in just the way that they needed to be served, at just the right time. And then in the New Testament, we can think of John the Baptist, who proclaimed the coming of the Lord and prepared the way for the Lord Jesus. And you think of Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene and Lazarus, who also encouraged and served our Lord Jesus. And you think of Jesus' own disciples, and later the Apostle Paul and Silas, Barnabas, Luke, Jesus' brothers. How the Lord mightily used those men to serve the church, especially in those very early stages. And then you can go later on and go throughout church history, and there's a whole list of amazing men and women that God raised up to serve His church in a multitude of ways. And they were all gifted by God to serve His church in just the right way and to aid the church in walking in fellowship with God and worshiping Him. Even in the very short time that I have been here, look at the wonderful ways that God has provided for our congregation. Just in one aspect of people who are gifted in playing musical instruments to aid us in our worship. Just as the Lord takes one away, He provides another. And it's been an amazing testimony for us of how the Lord always provides. And I say this all to remind us of God's faithfulness in raising up men and women and gifting them in just the right way to serve His church locally and globally. We sometimes don't always realize that, but the impact that the local church has doesn't just stay within its local community. But its effects are far-reaching. That's one of the blessings of having college students among us, that a lot of them go off and go to other parts of the world. And they were blessed here. And so that's a real way in which we can see that what God is doing among us and how He's gifted each one of us is serving the church universal. The Lord has gifted every single one of you to serve Christ's church in just the right way, at just the right time. That's why the Apostle Paul says what he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 26. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we would think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're all different parts of the one body of Christ. And thus we are all gifted differently. And that should cause us all to praise God. Because every gift that is given to one of His saints is a gift of God. And it is a beautiful thing to see how God works in and among His people. But it should also remind us to not think less of some or more of others. Because we say, oh, look at that person's gifts, aren't they so great? Or that person, to my eyes, doesn't seem to have a lot of gifts, and so they are lesser. No, that's never to be the attitude of the Christian, because we recognize that oftentimes our God is the God who works in the small things. And He is the one that is able to bless His people even through weak and meeble ways. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to be mindful of how our God is blessing us through all of His people and in the ways that He has gifted them. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, what are these gifts that God gives to us? And I'll give us some examples. This is not an exhaustive list. But there are some gifts that we all have in common. They're gifts that's given to all believers. And it's one of them is the gift of presence. Just being here, just being with God's people, is a gift in and of itself. You have the gift of singing to God, speaking and teaching the Word of God, telling others about God's goodness and faithfulness in your life. We all are gifted to pray. We all are gifted to pray. I say that again. That is the most loving thing that we could do for one another. And we all can contribute to the body of Christ and encouraging one another in the Word of God. But there are other gifts that are more specific. Preaching, obviously, is a more specific gift that the Lord gives to people in the church. But also teaching in an official capacity, hospitality, musical talents, leadership, encouragement, counseling, care for physical needs, spiritual needs, listening. The list can go on and on. But there are some giftedness that are more particular to individuals, and there's other gifts that are given to Christians in general. But now there are a number of questions we need to ask ourselves. In relation to our passage in Exodus chapter 31 and also 1 Corinthians 12. Are we using the gifts that God has given to us? Are we using the gifts that God has given to us? Now maybe you're saying, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, you won't know until you try. It should be, of course, in accordance with God's word for how to worship Him, but it should also be something that you enjoy and something that you excel at. You don't have to be the best at it, but it should be something that clearly God has gifted you for. Now maybe you're saying, I don't know how I can help the church. Well, talk to your pastor. Talk to your elders. Talk to your deacons. They will find ways for you to help. There's always ways to help. And, be careful for what you ask for in some ways, right? But we'll put you to work. But another question we need to ask ourselves is, are we rejoicing in the gifts and thankful for the gifts that God has given to others? Because sometimes the temptation is when we look at the giftedness of others is we become jealous. And that's totally the wrong attitude that we are supposed to have when we think of the giftedness of other people in the church. We are supposed to be thankful because we recognize that God gifted them in the particular way that they are gifted in order to serve us and to serve other people in the church. And so we need to be thankful. Another question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to serve others? And that means, are we willing to serve everyone in the church? That's an important question we need to ask ourselves in relation to our giftedness as well. Are we willing to serve everyone? Sometimes it's easy for us to have an attitude of, I don't know how to help that person. So we just check out and we say, well, someone else will do it. Or we think, well, that person's sort of beyond help, maybe. So check out. Don't know what to do in that situation either. But brothers and sisters, the Apostle James tells us that we are not to show favoritism. And one of the ways that we can show favoritism is saying, well, I really enjoy serving these people because they always encourage me and they're just such a pleasure. But these people over here that are more difficult, I'd rather not serve them as much. That can't take place in the church. We have to be willing to serve everyone, regardless of how they serve us. Because even as we are serving others, we must recognize that ultimately it is the Lord Jesus that is the one that is serving us. And that, I think, helps. Because oftentimes when we serve others, they don't respond to our service to them in the way that we would want. I expect you to say thank you. Right? I expect you to give me all kinds of praise for the wonderful way in which I served you. And when I didn't get it, now I'm grumpy. But it's helpful to be reminded that when we serve other people, at the end of the day, it's not them serving us that we need to be dependent on, but it is the Lord Jesus that is always serving us as we are serving others. And then another question we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to be served by others? Are we willing to be served by others? This is always a difficult question because we really enjoy serving other people because it makes us feel useful. We can kind of do the pat on the back. See, look what I did. But we all have to be humble enough to say that I need the other people in the Church of Christ to serve me, to help me, to encourage me in my walk with the Lord, because I'm not strong enough in myself. I'm not completely independent. I'm not this super person that doesn't need help from anybody else and can do it all on my own. And I can be the one that just endlessly gives to other people. None of us are that. We maybe have that delusion for a moment, but eventually you get tired and eventually you get frustrated with other people and serving them. If you don't know what that's like, have children. That'll answer that one real quick. And then, finally, what have you been using your gifts for lately? Have you been using your gifts that God has given you in service to yourself and to the building up of your own kingdom? Or in service to the Lord and the building up of His kingdom? The next subject that we see in our text is dealing with the Sabbath day and also the other holy days that the Lord had instituted for the Old Testament church. And I'm not going to get into why we worship on Sunday rather than Saturday. That is for another sermon and something that I've preached on before. But what we are meant to see here is the reason that we are to use our gifts that God has given to us. The reason that we are to use our gifts is to worship the Lord and to help others to worship
the Lord.
We have a tendency when where we read this to think that the Sabbath day is now this burden that we have to carry. It's sort of like when you're a child and your mother tells you, go clean your room. And you kind of, do I have to? But that's not the way that we are supposed to look at the Sabbath day at all. The Sabbath day is supposed to be a delight. Because it is a day that we set apart to spend with God, worshiping Him with His people. We may sometimes think, okay, I understand that as a Christian I have to go to church at least once on Sunday. So, well, then why do we have two services in this church? Is it because we're better than other churches? We're holier than other Christians? No. It is because we should want to. Why would we not want to go twice on a Sunday? Why would we not want to spend more time with God's people and with the Lord Himself in this intimate way? Why should we not want to learn more about the God who made us and saved us? Why would we not want to know Him better and understand better how He has saved us and loved us and cared for us? Why would we not want to take advantage of the delight and the gift of the Sabbath? Why would we not delight in the gift of the Sabbath? Especially when we think about this reality. Christ died to give you this day. Christ died to give you this time. Christ died so that you would be drawn into His almighty presence. And that you would behold the glory of God. Christ died for this. Why wouldn't we take advantage of what He has given? And what He has earned for us? Christ died to give us rest in the fullest sense of that word. Christ died to give us rest from sin, rest from the effects of sin, and true rest in Him. And what we experience in church, in the gathering of God's people, is the greatest earthly expression of that rest that God gives. Let us never think for a moment that when we are tired and we are weary, all we need is a vacation. And I'm saying that after I just came off a vacation. I think I'm more tired after vacation than I was before, but that's beside the point. Vacation with children is still work. Well, I think we recognize that. There is no real rest to be found in this world. And we know that to be true because at the end of the day, what is always with you in this life? What's always with you? Yourself. And I'm sorry, but yourself is exhausting. Amen? Yourself is exhausting. You're exhausting to other people, but you're exhausting to yourself. Especially when you recognize how sinful your heart is. How in a split second, all of a sudden, your mind went to something that is awful, horrible. And here in this time, in this moment, God is drawing you out of yourself. And He's saying, look, Look to the Lord Jesus. Look to Him in all of His glory and in all of His saving power. And find in Him that He is truly your all in all. And in Him is the only rest. The last thing I want us to notice in this passage is the last verse, verse 18. Read with me there at verse 18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. The two tablets of stone that God wrote with his finger are the Ten Commandments, as many of you know. And likely each tablet was an identical copy of the other, as is the case with any kind of contract. We can think of it that way. Covenant is a contract, and both parties receive a copy of that covenant or that contract. But why is this detail given here after this section on the Sabbath? The Sabbath is, after all, only one of the Ten Commandments. So why is that note here? Well, for essentially three reasons. First, to remind the people that the Sabbath was not optional for them. That it was part of the covenants, part of their covenantal commitment to the Lord. And second, to remind the people of the closeness and the nearness that they enjoyed to the Lord. And that they were to go to Him as the only source of rest, and they could trust God that He would be their rest because they were in a covenantal relationship with Him. And then thirdly, and we'll spend more time on this point, that while keeping the Sabbath day holy was a command from the Lord, it was also a sign of covenant blessing. We're shown this third reason very clearly in verse 17, that the Sabbath was to be a sign of the covenant that they were in with the Lord. And the pattern of this is rooted in creation. God created the universe in 6 days, and rested on the seventh. And that, and then we read something very interesting in verse 17, that God was refreshed. What does that mean? Does God get tired and He needed refreshing? No. We can read many passages throughout the Scriptures that tells us that the Lord never slumbers or sleeps. He never gets tired or weary. So then what does it mean? It's simply that God relaxed and enjoyed His very good creation on the seventh day, and He enjoyed it with His people. Remember, the seventh day was the first day, first full day, that Adam and Eve had with God. And they enjoyed communion with each other. That is how it was in perfection. That is what God has restored to us in Christ. And so now, dear brothers and sisters, delight yourself in the Sabbath, because it is the day in which you get to be with the Lord in the closest of intimacy, where you see your God and the salvation that He has provided most clearly. But also you find in Him that He is the only one that can really and truly give you rest. Where else or to whom else would you want to be? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. This time that we have with You. We thank You, O Lord, that You speak to us in a language that we can understand. And we confess to you, Lord, that we have so often taken for granted the great gift of the Sabbath, that many times we have squandered our Sabbaths, not resting in you, but setting our hearts and minds and maybe even our hands to the things of the rest of the week, worrying, concerned, stressed out about what's going on, and instead of lifting up our eyes and looking upon our Lord Jesus and finding in Him that He is our rest. For Lord Jesus, You have promised that You are the one that will provide that. You are the one that does provide that. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would give us the Holy Spirit, that we would never take our eyes off of our Savior, and that we would always look to the Lord Jesus, but especially on this, His day, the Lord's day, in which we rejoice in the triumphant salvation that He has provided, and in which we are well supplied in every way. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.